a flying motorcycle in kit form that you can buy right now. Today, the story of the Super Sky Cycle. I'm Paul Plank, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. It's my distinct pleasure today to be sitting here at West Desert Air Park in northern Utah with Larry Neal, founder and president of the Butterfly LLC. This company is currently selling the Super Sky Cycle, which is designed to be both a home-built motorcycle with everything you need to satisfy your local DMV, and a 51% kit aircraft that can be registered under experimental amateur build and can take off and fly after you drive yourself to the airport. Larry, thanks for setting aside a few minutes for our listeners today.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Let me ask you about the status of the Super Sky Cycle, because a few weeks ago there was an article in USA Today that talked about a variety of other fly-dry vehicles. They mentioned the Moeller Sky Car. They mentioned, I think they briefly mentioned Molt Taylor's Aero Car, and this thing that the students from MIT are working on that was at Oshkosh, and a couple other things. They didn't make mention of the only one that is actually shrink-wrapped on the shelf right now.
I'm sure it's because they don't even know about us. I haven't spent $1 on advertising other than the internet website. And I've really not tooted my horn too soon, because I learned you can do that. We're actually finishing up the first 30 production kits. I've been invited by Letterman, NBC New York, CBS, Discovery Channel Canada, and several film companies around the world wanting to come and film the Sky Cycle. And I said, I'll let you know when I'm ready to show the new production model with the fans, the Cadillac taillights sticking out the back, working.
And flying out of your garage at home.
That's exactly right.
All right, now let's go back to the beginning of Larry Neal's career with rotorcraft, because as I understand it, you've been interested in things that fly for a long time.
That's true. When I was 5 years old, I would hear an aircraft fly over in eastern Tennessee, and I would run outside and watch it all the way out of sight, and I thought, someday I'm going to fly. And I remember in the second grade, I remember my second grade school teacher telling my parents, what he does well, but all he wants to do is sit around and draw airplanes. So this... it was just in me. I think it's a God-given anointing, I guess I could say that, to design and build. And when I was in high school, I saw the old Benson gyrocopter ads in the Popular Mechanics magazine. And then when I saw one for the first time, I bought it and taught myself how to fly it. And I flew it for several years in eastern Tennessee. So I fell in love with the gyroplane in 1973. And that love has only got more intense.
All right. Now, after that... the Air Command gyroplane kind of stole some of the thunder from the Benson gyrocopter. They sold a lot of units. They had some stability issues that you designed to fix for. Tell us about that phase of your career.
Well, I really started understanding what the word centerline thrust meant. That's where the thrust of the propeller goes through the center of the gravity of the aircraft, or a little below. And when I actually did a hang test and some tests on some of the current gyros, I found the thrust line was about 7 to 12 inches higher than the CG, which introduced a torquing moment in the airframe forward upside down. And there was one Friday, I remember, someone got killed in a certain brand over the weekend, and it really grabbed me in my heart. And I thought, you know, I'm tired of people getting killed in this brand of gyro just because it needs a design change. And I had a Kerry Cartier's gyro was in the hangar, and he had asked me to make it safer if I could. So I looked at that gyro, and I thought, I'm going to do this weekend. So Monday morning, I had changed that gyro into a centerline thrust gyro with about $1,000, a very simple kit. Just moved the pilot and the fuel up higher, and it moved the tail back a little farther and just made a few little changes. And I was out flying it hands off, and I thought, this is such a good deal. I called the factory, and they agreed they wanted to come out with the kit themselves, which they did. We made an agreement, and I think we've saved a lot of lives, because now you can buy an upgrade kit for that brand and make it a safe ship.
All right. Now, the rest of the industry is pretty much, most of the rest of the industry has come around to understanding these things, these basic physics that were part of the very first gyroplanes back in the 1930s. But what is there left for a designer and a developer like you to go after?
Well, one of the things we did, we made a real big horizontal stabilizer, a true airfoil, and we put it on a long moment arm from the center of gravity back to the back. and it's also energized by the propeller blast, so it acts twice as big as what it is, and we've dampened out the pitching moments. That's number one. The number two problem we've had is gyros flipping over when they come in and they have a rough landing. So we simply designed a swing arm parallelogram type landing gear called the G-Force landing gear that lets down about 16 inches, and we've literally tested that at flaring at the height of a light pole, 25 feet, and settling straight to the ground without hurting anything, and then taking right back off repeated tests. So we're working on all fronts, and the next thing we did was the Metro launch system. Now we can bring the rotors to full flight speed, really over full flight speed, sitting still, and launch at full power so it leaves the ground in about 3 to 5 seconds.
Okay, so you are really narrowing the gap here between what a gyroplane can do and what a helicopter has had as its exclusive terrain for a long time.
That's true. Now we don't need the airport. We don't need that runway. We don't need that hangar. With the Super Sky Cycle, it has the ability to squat down lower than your 7-foot garage door. The rotor blade on top folds up like an old carpenter's reel, shorter than the vehicle. And it has a separate drive engine underneath. It's like a glorified go-kart. And you can run down the highway 55 miles an hour as a legal three-wheel motorcycle, drive home, put it in your garage. You can pull out to your field, fold the rotor out, leave the ground in 3 to 5 seconds, fly over 100 miles an hour to your destination, land wherever you have permission, fold it up, and drive on in where you're going.
Well, this sounds like great fun. We're going to be back in just a moment with Larry Neal of the Butterfly LLC. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here talking with Larry Neal about the future of transportation. Larry, let's get into your vision. You have obviously put a lot of time, effort, and your own money into developing the Super Sky Cycle. Who will use this? I know the word practical gets kicked around a lot. How practical can these machines become?
Well, starting out, our biggest market will be motorcycle people, people that already love the open air. The Super Sky Cycle will fit that niche immediately. But we're also working on a fully enclosed body that fits right on the Sky Cycle. So now it becomes a little single-place flying car that parks in the garage, drives down the road, and flies through the air. And then we're going to change the world a little in because it becomes a commuter.
It's going to be like a motorcycle. However, you'll be able to close the doors, turn the heater on, maybe even play the radio on the way to work.
We'll even have an air conditioner in it.
All right. Well, how far are you off from getting some of these newer ideas out there? I know you've talked about interest from all over the place on the Super Sky Cycle. Let's start with that. When are we likely to turn on Letterman and see that?
You'll see Letterman in about 3 months. We'll have everything fully going then. I'm right now getting my finned wheel pants and everything airbrush painted red, white, and blue. And there's 3 Cadillac bullet tail lights that stick out the back of this thing. It's got a real teardrop front wheel pant that looks really space-age with these little narrow, big, tall tires in under them. So it's got a look that people haven't ever seen before. And so we're going to start out with a single place, then we'll go to a 2-place, then we're going to do a 3-place. We also have a 4-place, fully enclosed flying car with a trunk that folds out and in with the push of a button design. So we'll actually take it all the way to flying cars.
All right. Now, Doug Barker, who is the president of the Utah Rotorcraft Association, has a Super Sky Cycle. In fact, it's just sitting a few feet from where we are looking at it now. And so far, it looks like it's in really kind of in motorcycle trim.
When are we likely to see it fleshed out with the body and the whole deal?
Okay, with first thing we do, we never put any flying parts on the SkyCycle. We build just the motorcycle part totally first. This thing is self-contained. You can drive it around, have fun with it. But then you take it down to the DMV and you get it licensed as a home-built motorcycle. That's step number one. You get your DOT number and it's a legal three-wheel trike. Mm-hmm. Then you come back and you put the flying parts stuff on, which is bolts on. And it's a 51% kit-built experimental aircraft. So that's what lets us do this right today with existing laws with a fly-drive vehicle.
All right. Now, someone has mentioned to Doug, I know, here in Kidding, that once he gets this thing together, he's going to need a posse of people in cars to drive around him just because of the way this thing will look going down the road. People are going to get careless. Have you thought about that aspect of it on the highway?
I'm just going to grin and wave when they look.
Well, Larry, what else are you working on? I know that you were one of the test pilots for the original Carter copter. Is there anything else going on in your life other than what's going on in your own company?
Yeah, we got some just interesting projects. We're getting ready to do some twin-engine gyroplane stuff. Matter of fact, we're going to have one model called the Traveler, which will be actually a twin engine with one propeller. So if one motor quits, you continue on your journey and land safely. You don't just go down if the motor quits. Be very powerful. It'll be about 150 mile an hour aircraft, still folds up and goes in the garage. We're also going to do a pure jet model of a gyro just for fun.
Now, I can think immediately of a couple of issues there. One is noise if you're trying to use the radio. But I'm guessing the word practical never gets near this pamphlet.
That's about right.
I can see the grin on your face. You're looking forward to flying this yourself.
I really am. I can't wait.
Now, are there jets out there to do this? You're going to have something built special or what?
There's actually a guy in England that's made this perfect little engine. We're going to put four of those on there.
Was this originally designed for the radio control model market or something?
No, it's actually bigger than that. It's kind of a knockoff from that. This guy just keeps building them bigger and bigger. So he has one now that puts out 100 pounds of thrust. We're going to put four of those. So guess what? Now we have redundancy in our flight engine. We got four of them. If one of them quits or even two of them quits, we don't come down.
And it sounds a whole lot sexier spooling up on the ramp than a Rotax 582.
We will make a flying car version of that. It won't be a practical. You won't have a lot of range because they burn a lot of fuel. But imagine having your own little flying car with a jet-powered engine.
That'll be intriguing. Well, Larry, if people want to find out more about what's happening in your world, what is the website?
www.thebutterflyllc.com.
Well, Larry, we will check it out often. I really appreciate your bringing one of your machines here to our meeting and for stopping to talk to us here in Utah. And best of luck with the company.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.